Hey everybody, Patrick McFarlane here of the Liberty Bigley podcast, coming at you with another episode. And today I wanted to talk a little bit about how COVID-19 has been affecting my state of Wisconsin, because apparently I heard through the grapevine that we are the hottest hotbed for COVID in the nation. And I just thought it was interesting, so I thought I would comment on it. But before we get into that, I wanted to thank everyone for listening to Liberty Bigley. Actually, the numbers are growing a bit, slightly, so I would urge everyone to keep subscribing, rating, and reviewing, and sharing. And usually it's actually word of mouth is by how podcasts spread the most. So if you personally recommend it to someone that you know, some libertarian friend that you know, I would really appreciate that. But I'm really enjoying this vehicle, this outlet so far lately, because it's off the cuff and it's kind of like, I don't know, allows me to get my thoughts and feelings out there, kind of like therapy for myself. But just a chance to be less formal and get things off my mind or think out loud a little bit. So today I had lunch with another young attorney friend, and I very much like this guy, but he is a very mainstream, never Trumper Democrat kind of type. And I've kind of reached the point, I just had recorded an episode with Nick Pacone, an episode of my podcast I do with my wife, a gothic horror podcast. We talked about Clive Barker. That's Unhallowed at unhallowedpodcast.com. Really enjoying that so far. But I was telling Nick that we got to talking after the show and some of the bonus content about how lately we've just kind of been burned out on the libertarian politics of it. And I mean, that was my whole hiatus that I had. And Nick is a pretty faithful listener of this show. So I'm sure you'd be listening to this tomorrow, Nick. But I was talking about how I've really, during my hiatus, I really got burned out talking about libertarianism and the minutia of the philosophy. And, you know, getting back into Liberty Weekly has been interesting, but I think the reason why I've been able to do it is because I found a way to disassociate my emotions from talking about libertarianism. And Keith and I are planning on talking about this sometime, maybe this weekend, about how I think we've both been able to find a balance with this where, you know, there's kind of this joke about how when you are a libertarian, a new libertarian, you are in an evangelical phase where you're so excited about the ideas that you just want to go around telling everyone and talking about it and thinking about it and working every possible aspect of the theory through your mind and reading and just going gung-ho and honestly becoming completely insufferable to everyone around you. And then you get to a point where you are not super happy with it. You are rejecting the world around you. You can't unsee it. All these emotions and this journey, this ride that it is to kind of be a libertarian. And you can go in several different roads and pathways on that journey. You know, some people have taken it to the alt-right. Other people have taken it to this kind of post-libertarian conservative bent, which is interesting. But this leads me to, and I don't know how many people in the audience are where you guys are at in your liberty journey. If you're newer to the movement or to libertarianism or the ideas, or if you are like me, you know, a little bit of an older hat, I'd say 6 years in at this point, Others, of course, have been libertarians for much, much longer, kind of the older guard. And actually, looking at the show demographics, I've noticed that the demographics for this show are, I think the biggest demographic is 40 to 60, or maybe like 35 to 50-year-olds or something like that, which I find very interesting because I always view my audience as being younger libertarians who are between 18 and 30, 35. When I picture libertarians who are listening to podcasts on the internet, that's the demographic I picture. But I appreciate everyone listening, of course. But anyways, I've gotten to this point, I feel like, where I can emotionally detach, and being a libertarian isn't the biggest part of my identity anymore. And when, you know, someone is insulting libertarianism or calling it stupid or debunking it, I don't see it as a personal attack anymore, which I think has come about partly because of my career and partly because my son, you know, becoming a father and having to grow up and become more mature. But I was talking with my this attorney friend of mine at lunch, and we were talking about, I was curious because I had heard a rumor that some people, some mainstream Democrats, had not actually even heard about the Hunter Biden emails. And I wanted to know what he thought, because he's a fan of Joe Biden, I think, in the sense that he's not super enthused about Joe Biden, but he just hates Donald Trump so much. But he was saying, you know, when I kind of deferred in saying that these emails aren't confirmed, you know, but they're pretty damning if they are real. And I think at the very least, it warrants an investigation into Joe Biden. And he just kind of wrote it off. I don't know exactly where I was going with this, except to bring up the dual. It's like people are, I've made this analogy before, but I think Tim Pool's made the analogy, is that, you know, you get people on both sides, the right and the left, who go into one movie theater and they're watching the same screen, but they're watching two different movies. And I think that's kind of what it is, based on how you're approaching these things in your mind, from what personal perspective you are. And I think it's the same thing in Wisconsin with COVID-19, is that everyone is freaking out and talking about increased and renewed lockdowns, because apparently the numbers are going up. And these two screens I would allude to, is there's one screen which is the what you see on the news media in the statistics in quotes about how many cases there are in Wisconsin. And the other screen is what you see and experience with your own eyes. And I would tend to believe what I've seen and experienced with my own eyes over the statistics that the news is telling me and is flashing on the screen, on the TV, or on the radio. And I've said this so many times to so many people, but it's very telling and interesting how I bet that if none of us watched the news, hardly any of us would even know that COVID was happening, or that COVID-19 was a thing. I mean, aside from the lockdowns and aside from the news and the sensationalism. But I know there's significant fatigue here, although there's a lot of people that are talking about how they think there's going to be renewed lockdowns. But just anecdotally, our favorite supper club around here is closing because they just can't afford to stay open anymore, especially when the governor has ordered that all businesses and buildings have to be operating at 25% capacity. that's been challenged in the courts. Actually, there was a temporary restraining order on it, but there was another instance in our hometown here where the city council wanted more enforcement ability to enforce mask mandates. And the Chamber of Commerce actually piped in and said, hell no. And that's because, you know, obviously the Chamber of Commerce gets all their funding from businesses in the area. And, I mean, these businesses, they can only take so much. And it seems like if we're at a crossroads here where the quote-unquote case numbers are climbing and climbing, then they're going to either try and shut things down again or something's going to give. And that's the place that I fear I'm headed. That's what people are starting to say around here, is that, you know, this is the second wave that everyone was talking about, and we're going to have to go into a more severe lockdown, have people stay home from work. So it's just, I don't know. I'm hoping that things settle down after the election, because thankfully that's only a couple weeks away. And I was talking with this same attorney friend at lunch, saying, you know, we don't know how much people talking about post-election violence is. And of course, Donald Trump's the worst person ever, and he will accept the results, but only if he wins. And of course, Biden, you know, would accept either result, whether he won or whether he lost. So, yeah, but you know how that is. I'm sure you've had those same conversations in your own personal life. And but we also had discussed, you know, just how everyone was dealing with it. And even though this attorney was a Never Trumper kind of guy, his entire firm has been in the office during this whole pandemic, and no one has worked from home at all. And I've just had so many conversations where it becomes so apparent that for lots of people, they need the routine of going up, getting up, going to work. And I was describing it that, you know, you got to get up and go to work. And for me, taking my son to daycare and driving and spending that time in the car and going to the workplace is like a routine rite of passage. Not really a rite of passage, but it's a transition. It's a symbolic and physical transition from the person I am when I'm at home into the person I am when I'm at the office. And that transition is so important, because I can't get into that work mode if I stay at home, you know, because home is for leisure time, and home is for my projects, and home is for spending time with my family and being, you know, being present. And I don't want to mix the two very much. So, there were challenges to the governor's newest mask order, and there was a temporary restraining order put on it in, I think, where Hudson, Wisconsin is, real close to the Twin Cities in Minnesota, on the east side. Can't remember what county that is. Judge Waterman was one that signed a temporary restraining order. So there's an order to show cause hearing coming up, I think, this next month, unless it was this morning on Friday. Next week. I think it's the order to show cause is coming up early next week. Could have been this morning on Friday, but thought it was interesting. We'll see. You know, so the judiciary is pushing back on it, and some of the, I mentioned in one of the last episodes how people are pushing back on it. So, well, anyways, just wanted to get an episode out tonight. because I'm kind of going for that daily show thing. But I hope that you enjoyed this episode. I hope that you subscribe, rate, review, and share it around. Let's keep this train going. I think the numbers are getting better, and it's very encouraging to me, and I have been enjoying doing it. So thanks for being there. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you tomorrow. Peace.